Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
You make your way back to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to finish our study on the life of John the Baptist this morning in a series that we've entitled A Voice in the Wilderness. And a reminder to us that we are to be taking the gospel to the world outside these walls. And you have gone along on this journey, and we've looked at John's role as the forerunner of Christ, that John's was the one to announce that Jesus was coming and prepare the way of the Lord. And indeed, I've enjoyed it. Hope you've been blessed by it. We've also talked about some practical things, and we'll share some practical things as we get into the text this morning. It's basically three sections to this encounter. In the first few verses of chapter 11, John sends messengers to Jesus to ask him this question: are you the one who is to come, or do we look for another? This is the same John who declared that Jesus indeed was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, that Jesus indeed was that one that God was sending into the world, and then he was shut up in prison. You recall that he rebuked the ruler of that area by the name of Herod Antipas, and he called him out for his immorality. He was offended. His new wife, Herodias, was offended, and he was thrown in prison. So from that prison vantage point, he asked that question. Jesus simply does this. He says, tell John what you see and hear. And he lists a number of miraculous signs that would point ultimately to the Messiah. So just go and tell him and reassure him with those words. But then there's the question of the people who were gathered around. Like, well, what is John's role? Why is he in prison? What's this all about? And Jesus steps into a role that sometimes we need to be our tour guide to coast through. You ever been somewhere and something you don't understand the parameters, you need someone to kind of steer you through? Several years ago, my wife has been a piano teacher for a long period of time, and one of her students had a part in a production of a ballet. And so we were provided tickets, and they wanted us to come, and let's just say ballet is not my forte, okay? We could say it that way. And so I was talking to my next-door neighbor at the time, and I said, we're going to go see this ballet. He said, oh, I know that ballet, and he knew all about it. He said, let me just tell you all about it. So he explained what the story was about and why the music was arranged. So I'm just sitting there like, this is so helpful. I'm not just sit there for an hour and a half just not knowing what's going on. So he explained it to me, and it actually was an enjoyable experience to watch the young people do their ballet. But I needed someone to guide us along the way. So Jesus says, let me guide you along the way with this subject of John. So we looked at this last week. He says in verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. He says, what did you go out to see? Was it someone who was not living according to what he said? Was this reed shaken in the wind? Was he wearing nice clothes like a celebrity would wear in their day? Was he that? Then he quotes from the book of Malachi. In verse 10, he says, behold, I send my messenger before you who will prepare your way before you. The you there is speaking of Messiah, referring to Christ. And he says he was here to prepare. And then he says this remarkable statement that we spent some time on in verse 11 last week, just to help them understand who John was and the role he played. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So he elevates John to this lofty position of service to God, but then he makes this startling statement, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And really, we talked about how that he was anticipating the kingdom, but after the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, and going forward and all the things concerning Christ, the kingdom reaches a fuller understanding, and we can absolutely have our sins have been paid for, that assurance their sins are paid for in Christ. And we can do greater things in extent and so forth. But then he wants to go back to this fact that was probably in the back of their minds unstated. But what about John's suffering? What about John's incarceration? What about John's plight? What about him? How does this fit in? And he tries to answer what we would call the elephant in the room. about this one of John. And here's what he says beginning in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He's going to address three frames of reference that help us understand and help them understand the nature of serving God in a world that is wicked, in a world that is dominated by Satan, in a world that is opposed to our values and rejects our truth for the most part. How do we respond to that? What should we expect? And he gives three descriptive frames, if you will, to help us understand that. And the first one is seen here in verse 12. And we're going to say it this way, that there is always the opportunity and the likelihood of getting a response that is unreasonable. The world can give us this unreasonable response. Because John came along preaching the truth, Messiah is coming, great opportunity, and he winds up in prison. And he uses the word violence twice in verse 12. And he says the kingdom of heaven suffers from violence. It experiences violence. That is not a reasonable response. That was not any thinking person, not any sane person, not any controlled person would ever respond that way to bring violence on the kingdom of God. He said, the violent take it by force. And that might be, that second phrase might be looking at it from the other point of view. That there is a certain confrontation with the preaching of the gospel. There's a certain bulliness about it because this is truth and truth that is not going to be compromised. And it appears very, very stinging to someone who has rejected that. So the reality is, he says to us, explaining John's plight and explaining our future and our present, that we should find this common, that there would be an unreasonable response to the preaching of the truth of Christ. And you face this, right? Think about it. If you're a believer, you've thought about this, I'm sure. We're preaching a message that says, through no action of your own, just through faith, you can have all your sins forgiven before God. The reasonable thing to do was say, I want that. I want to have a relationship with my Creator. But many people find that unreasonable. How about this one? The fact of the matter is that if you would trust Christ as your Savior, you can have Him in your life and the power of God working in you, changing you slowly, yes, but progressively throughout your life, making you more like Christ's character than the character you had previously. This literally can change your life for the better and affect every part of your life. And the blessings of God will be there. It's entirely reasonable to accept that, but many people are not reasonable but reject that. Now, you know that. You've experienced that. You have relatives. You have friends. You have those sorts of encounters that you understand that. The things that are most reasonable. The thing that even the Word of God itself, I mean, what a blessing that God has decided to speak to us. And he'll talk about that in here a couple of verses more. But God has given us His message. He put it down in writing. He didn't want there to be any question about it. He put it in a form that it's understandable, it's accessible. And so many people just say, that should be discarded to the dustbin of history. That's just some old document that really isn't true and has no meaning for us today. For us, the reasonable thing to do is say, this is God's message. Pay attention to it. So we face this unreasonable thing because we understand that it's not logically bringing someone to faith. It is not arguing someone to faith. But because of their lost spiritual condition, we face this encounter of unreasonableness in people we share the gospel with. Now, secondly, he says this. For all the prophets, verse 13, and the law prophesied until John. All the prophecies, all of the prophets, they prophesied till John, John being the latest and really the last of the prophets, prophesied. They came on the scene. They were announcing the truth. They came, and look what it says. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, there was this expectation, we've talked about this previously, that before the Messiah would show himself on earth, that Elijah would come in power and authority and so forth. And what he's saying is, that has been fulfilled, and it was fulfilled in John the Baptist. God did not resurrect Elijah literally and bring him back, but someone who came in the power and the spirit of Elijah, filling the Elijah role, was there. And he says, if you had some understanding, You would understand that. And they use this phrase that you see elsewhere in Scripture. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The second thing we face is not only an unresponsive unreasonableness, but secondly, people are uninformed. The world can be uninformed. And that can be just ignorance of the truth. Now, for those of us who had the blessing of growing up in a church setting with Christian parents, we know most of these stories and accounts. I mentioned John the Baptist. You know immediately who we're talking about. But we live in a world where there is much ignorance about even the basics of the Word of God. Great news is that can be fixed, but we understand that. But it's not just an uninformedness based on the fact that they just don't know and haven't heard, but it's based on the fact of their lack of hearing. That phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, there's some who will hear but not hear. You have to have ears to hear to be able to really get the message. And we understand that. It means there has to be a spiritual awakening. There has to be some work of God for us to be able to break through this uninformedness about the truth. And sometimes we give up in our evangelistic efforts because we're talking to people and they just aren't getting it. It feels like just bouncing off. And we get frustrated by that. Remember what I've asked you to do. I hope you've done it. I've tried to do it as well. But to pray for those that you would love to see come to Christ. Because you can't argue anyone into heaven. You can't out-reason someone into heaven. You can't answer all their questions to get them to come to the Savior. We can share the information with them, ask them to consider the claims of Christ, but ultimately they have to have ears to hear, and that has to be the work of God to be able to do that. Now, it's not my subject or purpose this morning, but it's true for us as believers as well that we need to have ears to hear. Have you ever been in this situation? You're in the presence of somebody, someone you love, someone you care about, and that person is talking to you and they get through several sentences, maybe a whole paragraph, and suddenly their conversation starts and then you realize, even though there's been sound waves coming through the room bouncing off my eardrums, I have no idea what it was they just said. And careful here, you can do two things. One is pretend like you heard. Don't do that. First of all, it's not honest. And second of all, it's not going to work. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Would you mind repeating that? I didn't hear what you said. So it's not a question of hearing. It's a question of attention. It's a question of paying attention. And we need to develop that skill when it comes to God speaking to us. Lord, what are you trying to say? Sometimes we have to say, Lord, could you rearrange and make sure my opinions or my prejudices are not what they should be? Or sometimes we just forget who it is talking to us. We have the privilege every time we open this book, like you have it open in front of you right now. We just need to remind ourselves, God wants to talk to you. He really is talking to you. That this is of significance, this is of importance. And just that attitude of listening helps us listen with ears that are able to hear. But we face that with folks. So unreasonableness, and sometimes people are uninformed. And he says, who has ears to hear, let him hear. So with John, he's saying, you understand this. Why is John in prison? Why is John suffering? Because people are unreasonable. It's not a reasonable thing to throw John in jail. And by the way, you know the rest of the story. He does not get out of jail, but he's executed by Herod Antipas, and all caused by the hatred of his wife, who hated John, enacted through her daughter, his stepdaughter. And you can read that story, and it's not a pretty one. But why are people so unresponsive? Why are that? Because it's a spiritual problem. And it's our job to take this message into the world, accompanied by the work of God, as we pray and as we seek His face, to see those people who will respond to respond. And secondly, those who are uninformed, those who just miss the point. They don't get what's obvious to us to break through that wall. Then he takes two different approaches to deal with the third frame, as we see in front of us here. But to what shall I liken this generation? Now that should perk us up. Jesus is about to give some commentary on the generation of his day. Now we do a lot of talking about generations sometimes. I was talking to someone recently. He's about my age, a couple years older than me, and we were talking about, you know, our children and the generation after our children. And we both said there's things about those generations that I don't understand, and sometimes it just seems like that shouldn't be the way it is. And we went back and forth, and finally one of us said this, was probably the only insightful thing in the conversation, said, you know what, when we were their age, what were our parents saying about us? There probably needed to be some commentation on our era. But Jesus is not just talking about his generation that he was living in. He's talking about the generation of this world. This is still in play. He says, let me give you a description of the generation. He's talking about our day as well. And here we're going to find that this message that we have to share to others can be unreasonable, it can be uninformed, and the world can be unresponsive, thirdly, unresponsive to this message. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, maybe this was something that he literally had seen or something they could easily imagine. Children just playing, and they're imitating adult behavior. You know, you'd maybe see children that would pretend to be driving a car, doing some adult activity, that sort of thing, and we play those out and rehearse them. And he's going to rehearse two scenes. One is very positive and one is negative, okay? And it's all about unresponsiveness. Here it is, verse 17. And saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. Perhaps it is like this. I've found this paraphrase of that verse, and I'll just read it to you, just to kind of with our thinking. We played wedding songs, but you didn't dance. We played funeral songs, but you didn't mourn. So he's saying we wanted to bring you into the experience, into the game, into the role play, if you will, and we piped and we played flutes, happy songs like a wedding song, and that was the signal for everybody to dance and celebrate, and nobody responded. It just nothing happened. So what will I like in this generation? I brought good news to you, and nobody responded. In fact, not only did they not respond positively, many responded negatively, John being the most recent example in this context, and Jesus being condemned to the cross being the next most notable of all time. There was not a good response, not a proper response to the good news of Christ. And as we go into this world to be able to present the gospel, we're going to have people that do not respond to our message as we think they might. And he says, and we mourn to you, and they did not lament. Lament was the activity of their cultural norm for funerals. In our day, typically, if you go to a funeral home or you go to a church for a service or you stand at a graveside, typically in our culture, it's sort of quiet and subdued. Someone might be expressing emotions and tears, but you know, it's sort of quiet and reflective. In their world, when someone died, it was loud, and people would shout and cry, and it would be full-throated expression of their lament. So he said, we were pretending, we were acting out this funeral scene with the music accompanying it, and nobody responded with laments. No one cried out in their mourning. Too unresponsive, both positive and a negative one. And the gospel includes both of those elements. The negative is simply this: God is the creator, and he's the judge of all things. We are sinners before him and condemned. And someday we will stand before him in eternal judgment. That's the bad news. The good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? That we have this good news, this good news. There is a remedy. There is a solution. But many people are not responsive to that. And then he gives another one, another example. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Talk about not responding properly. What did they say about John? He was out in the wilderness. He was sort of away. He wasn't part of society of the norm. He was this wilderness guy. And what did they say about him? He must have a demon. I mean, he's not preaching in the synagogues. He's not in the temple. He's not a priest. He's not a Levite. He's not anything. He's not a rabbi. It must be demonic. There's something wrong with his belief system and his behavior and his source. And Jesus says, what do they say about me? He went to the festivals in Jerusalem. John chapter 4, he went to a wedding. He went to meals and banquets with people. And what do they say about him? He's gluttonous, he's a drunk, and he's hanging out with the wrong people, the tax collectors and the sinners. How dare you? And Jesus is saying, they say John's wrong, say I'm wrong. They're going to say everybody's wrong, because they're not responding to the message that we give them properly. And he concludes with that last phrase, but wisdom is justified by her children. Children are the offspring of their parents. It's kind of a way of saying this. The truth is going to come out. Wisdom is going to come out. It's going to be revealed. And the fact is, that's who John was, and that's why John was in prison and why John was going to face it. Preparing them some for the persecution that Jesus was going to receive and for the disciples' persecution that they were going to experience. But nonetheless, when he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, there's always that reality that in spite of unresponsiveness, in spite of being uninformed, in spite of being unreasonable, here's the reality, okay? God can penetrate through all of those negatives and still bring people into a relationship with himself. You want to know how I know that? Look to your left and look to your right, and you're going to see some folks, and you can look to yourself, that it penetrated into our hearts, and we realize that I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. And to believe in him grants the gift of eternal life and the power of God in our lives in this life. So it can happen. So what's our responsibility in this world of a wilderness? It's simply this. I'm just going to put it in front of you. We must simply ask others to consider the message of Christ. Would you consider this for yourself? Would you allow this to be heard? And sometimes you can disarm folks in this opportunity by just simply saying something like this. Would you consider if this is true? I'd like to hear your reaction to it. Let me just share with you what I've come to believe. Or make it a hypothetical. What if it were true that there is, and then share the gospel. Or simply this. What would be the cost of being wrong on such a critical issue? You ask people to consider that. And we want to give you some tools to be able to do that. One particular tool this morning, and I want you to go home with it, and we have it prepared for you. Because there's always opportunities that come, and we should be prepared. We should be ready. If you go on a trip, do you pack a bunch of stuff? Julie and I have never learned the art of packing light if we're going somewhere. We pack all this stuff. Most of it never, ever comes out of the suitcase. You just don't need it. But you never know. You might got to be ready. But anyway, we want you to be ready. And we want you to go home with a tool today. And we want you to have it ready. It's simply this little booklet. There's a stack of them in the foyer. If you're heading over to the Winterfest, there's a stack of them over there. But it's called the Life Conversation Guide. And it's called the Three Circles. It's just a little presentation of the gospel. And basically, it uses three circles. You can see it on the screen there. And basically, the way it works is, the truth is here, the scriptural reference is here, and then the illustration is here. So basically, if you can just flip through and read, you have the gospel all right in front of you, okay? Now, this is not primarily designed to be something like, here, would you read this, take this with you? You can do that if you want to, but primarily it's designed to say, would you consider something with me? I'd just like to get your reaction to this and let you see this. And you have this conversation with them. Sometimes starting a conversation with somebody who isn't part of the faith, it's kind of difficult. But if you ask them, would you consider this, and just this will take you right through, okay? So pick up one of those, have that at hand. Secondly, we also put this as available on our website. You don't need to worry about getting all that written down, even that QR code. We have this sheet for you at both places. You can just take one. It'll give you all the stuff you need there. But if you use that code or that URL, it'll take you to our website, a special page, and you just scroll through it. You can have it right there on your phone, okay? Special treat for those of you that are iPhone users. If you go to the next slide, please. There is a free app, and if you just search your app store called Life on Mission, you can download this app. It has all the same content. Unfortunately, that app is not for Android users like myself, so you'll have to use the previous method. But just to have something at hand, as you would ask people, would you consider something important to me? And then you have your guide to take them through, or on your phone, or you're ready to share. Because I'm convinced that the more ready we are, this is my opinion, suspicion, I think the more ready we are to serve, I think God's going to be more inclined to give us opportunities to use what we're ready to use. Because there is a wilderness out there, beyond these walls. People are very highly successful of not coming in these walls. If they come in by these walls, we want to share Christ with them. We want to share the love of God with them. We want to welcome them. But many people would never do that. But you work with them. You live near them. You're related to them. They're your neighbors. They're somebody. And if you would just take one of those and be at the ready, okay? And let's just see what God may do. Let him who have ears, let him hear. And I think the call of God in these days that we've spent together, that's one reason I wanted to share this at the beginning of our year, is because I think God has great work for us to do. And I think he's going to do great things through us. If we will be those people that just ask people to consider the message of Christ. And maybe you will be that tour guide in their life. Maybe you'll be that one that knows something in an arena in an area they don't know. My neighbor helped me with ballet. But maybe you could be that person who could help them with a subject matter of eternal significance. Open your heart to that. Let's do God's will together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for John, this amazing man. Lord, that even after all these years knowing his story, it saddens us that he gave his life for the cause of Christ. And we thank you that he was willing to do so. He did have his struggles. But he was that messenger that went before our Savior's face in time to prepare. Lord, help us to continue to pray for those that we know. Help us to continue to use our stories we talked about some weeks ago. Help us to take this particular tool that's been put into our hands so we're at the ready. And maybe we could have that conversation that could begin with, would you consider, and be able to share the truth. And Lord, we pray for those souls that will hear. We pray, Lord, that they might have ears to hear, that they may be responsive in an unresponsive world, that they may be informed of the truth in an uninformed world, that they'd be reasonable with the claims of Christ in an unreasonable world. And Lord, you've called us to be those who share your truth. Give us grace and strength to do so, we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.